Father, what a privilege today to just again respond to your invitation to take us into something that is again life-changing for the nation, life-changing for our communities that you have placed us in. And we want to thank you that what your Son has done in redeeming us with his blood and taking us from all nations and tribes and languages and bringing us as a redeemed people and making us into a king and priest to be able to serve, to be able to rule here on earth. And so we want to thank you today, Lord Jesus, for the power of your incredible atonement. We want to thank you, Jesus, for the power of your blood, for your authority over death, your authority over sin, your authority over all mankind, your authority over all creation. And we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are inviting us to begin to live in the reality of your incredible authority and to be able to be one with you in the way that you rule and reign and what you are busy up to in this time that we are alive amongst the nations. So we want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for today as you impart to us today, Holy Spirit, as you give us understanding and wisdom and insight and just open up truth to us that we may truly just go beyond the natural, go beyond the ground-bound understanding of your word and enter into your very life, enter into your very heartbeat, enter into the very activity of your word being alive and active and powerful. And we want to thank you as you impart this to us today. And we give you the praise and glory for this we ask, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, so that what we ask, you will be glorified in and through our lives, in and through your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Okay. So today what we're going to be doing is I'm going to be sharing some scriptures and just expounding a little bit. And then we're going to spend the time in singing. I'm often afraid to use the word, then we're going to worship, because my thoughts needs to be a worship unto God. My speech needs to be a worship. What I do needs to be an act of worship. So the sound of music is part of worship, you know. It's a lifestyle, and so because he's worthy for us to have pure thoughts. He's worthy for us to have pure speech. He's worthy for us to have pure actions. And this is all part of where he's inviting us to really understand what purity, what is to be set apart, is all about. So we're going to be speaking and just sharing some scriptures over here. And then the songs as part of that declaration. Then I'll be, last song will be on Psalm 24. And that's a very powerful psalm that we will be singing, as about the King of Glory, etc. And I'll expand a little bit on that as well as we continue. And then we'll have communion. And communion will be a time where each and every one of us will have an opportunity to really, what can I say, welcome the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and embrace the invitation for knowing him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and to be able to start to live with him, knowing him as King of Kings. Now, many, many times you'll find in the way our Lord Jesus ministers to you and I, he makes himself known. I think most of us know him as Savior. He saved us, so we know him as our Savior. A lot of us know him as a teacher who teaches us, and we know him as a shepherd who guides us and leads us. Sometimes we know him in different aspects of who he is, in his, as a high priest, and the way he's made atonement for us and intercedes for us. So there's many ways that our Lord Jesus makes himself known to us. Depends on our need, depends on where we are. Right now, our Lord Jesus is revealing himself as the King of Kings. And he wants to reveal himself to the body of Christ, who he is as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this is what this morning's all about. And we're going to be spending a bit of time with that. When we look at history, when we look at today, when we look at the future, very often our mind, our thoughts, our perception can come to a conclusion that evil is winning the battle. It seems like darkness is just so powerful. It seems that darkness is reigning, and the good news, the gospel, this, what we speak about, this kingdom of God, where is that? Where's the evidence of this? And we can come to a conclusion and say to ourselves, listen, darkness is just too strong for us. And we can get into an agreement with Satan and come into such a conclusion. And today the Holy Spirit wants to just highlight the falsehood of that kind of thoughts and to bring in the truth so that we understand, no. Our Lord Jesus is truly the King of Kings and he has overcome darkness. And for us to start to remember what faith is, it's divine persuasion. So darkness could persuade us to believe, and we live a life of fear. We live a life that is now persuaded that evil is ruling, and you know the consequences of that kind of lifestyle of fear, etc., etc. Or we can now be persuaded by what the Holy Spirit is sharing, that Christ is truly the King of Kings and everything is under his authority, and for us to get into agreement with that. And so we can renew our mind. We can live. We know how to pray. We know how to look at the future. We know how to look at the past. We know how to look at our present situation. And so we see right from the very beginning that darkness tried the utmost to override God's agenda, God's plan, when he came and he deceived Adam and Eve. And so we look at that and we realize, but wow, from the very beginning, Satan has always been against the ways of God. He's always been against God's purpose, his will. And that hasn't stopped. He is the Antichrist. So we know that Jesus refers to the enemy, refers to the devil as the prince of this world. We know, as Paul writes there, that this whole world is held captive by Satan. So it's not a denial, it's a reality. But Jesus was born as a king, and he's returning as a king. He is the king, and we are in a kingdom. And it's for us to be able to realize, yes, this world is like this, but we are in a kingdom, and our warfare is not flesh and blood. But our warfare is a spiritual warfare, and Jesus has given us the authority, his authority, to participate so that his rule, his kingdom, can manifest and people get set free from being held captive by the enemy. And so we notice, as we look at history right from the very beginning, and we can just see, and even part of history is called the Dark Ages, you know, because it was so dark and God was silent and all this was taking place. But then comes Jesus, and here in John chapter 1, we read over here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." This is referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. "Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made." One of the meanings of Lord is the owner of all things. So here we see our King, our Lord, who is the owner of all things, who has created all things, And we'll see there in other scriptures, all things belong to Him, for Him. So where does darkness fit into our mind, into our faith? Where does our understanding come when we start to say, well, but somehow evil seems to be reigning in the towns that we're living in. There seems to be more evil in the... That thought is a wake-up call by the Holy Spirit to say that is not what it's meant to be. If we're thinking like that, then we are not living into the truth of who we are in Christ Jesus. So it's a wake-up call. It's the Holy Spirit helping us to realize these thoughts are not in line with Jesus. It's not, see, we need to take every thought captive and make it obedient to the King of Kings. So it's a conscious Holy Spirit activity in enabling us to become aware of the way we are thinking. That's vital. Otherwise, we compromise, we get into agreement with darkness, and there's no authority. There's nothing taking place. And evil continues to rule and reign in the communities because we as the pillar of truth, we as the light in the world, we are not operating as children in the kingdom of God. We've got weapons of war that's divine, that demolishes things. And it's now time where we come out of that passivity and that sort of agreement and just, oh, okay, that's just the way it is. And to say, no, that's not the way it's going to be in this town, in this, wherever we are. And to begin to realize that God is wanting for us to pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Oh, that's a big word. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We begin to understand when Jesus says all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Therefore, because of this, therefore I'm commissioning you, as the Father has sent me, I send you into this world to go and make disciples of nations. You see, it's not just teaching them how to pray, it's discipling nations, how to come into the kingdom and how to live in the reality of the kingdom of God. Why would Jesus say that when he knows that the whole world is held captivity by the enemy? And he gives us the mandate, go and make disciples of nations. You see, and so we start to realize that there's something profound that God is busy doing in the family of God worldwide in waking us up to the reality of he is the King, he is the Lord of all, and now we as his kingdom people, we are with him, what it means to start to say no to darkness. Many times I've been in encounters and I've seen and I've witnessed the condition of the lives of our community. I've witnessed and I've seen the condition of abuse, of addictions, of just trauma, of dysfunctional families, you name it. And as I see how the enemy has held people captive and they are bound, they cannot escape by themselves. It's impossible. That's why only Christ has the authority to give eternal life. Nobody else can save. It's the authority of Jesus. And as I see this, the Holy Spirit emphasizes to me every single time, this is because the body of Christ has compromised with darkness and does not have any authority to be able to deal with the darkness. So it calls us to a life of purity. It calls us to a life of being set apart. As Jesus says, I set them apart just as you, I have been set apart. So it's a called life where we cannot compromise and get into agreement with the practice of the world. And now we can say, well, I'm going to pray for God to stop corruption. I'm going to pray for God to stop addiction. I'm going to pray for God to stop sex trade. When the body of Christ is addicted, the body of Christ is in pornography, the body of Christ is in corruption in one way or the other. There's no authority. So the kingdom of God is not becoming a reality in the places that God has placed us. So there's a call for you and I to yield to the King and allow him to be king of our lives and to submit to him as a King of Kings and to live a lifestyle of purity. It's vital. Thursday, some of us have been praying, and Thursday, busy praying, and the King of Kings stepped into this place. And I can say that the power of His authority, the power of His glory, the force of who He is. You know, I don't know if you ever sat next to a president of a country. There's an atmosphere that comes. There's like a sense of authority and there's an atmosphere. But with Jesus, that atmosphere telling him that we is nothing. With Him, there's an atmosphere. It shifts. And I can say that nothing impure will be able to be in His presence. So as the King of Kings, we sing that song, "Who will ride with me?" I'm telling you something, without a lifestyle of purity, you'll not be able to ride with Him in the army of God. He's too pure. And so today in the communion, today it's, "Lord, let Your fire come and let me come. Lord, I yield to You as the King so that You can consume this, anything that's impure in my life, so that I can be an example, I can live a pure, holy life. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And God loves the people of our town too much to leave us stuck in our complacency. You can see you're going to need to go to a pastoral church, but the love of God for people that's going to hell is too strong. It cannot be nice. Got to speak as it is. We cannot sit and say, "Well, that's just the way it is there." No, it's not just the way it is there. They've been held captive by the enemy. We've got truth. God loves them. Christ has paid the price. God, what's the power of the cross? What will it look like over here? And we seek and we get the answer. Then we start to be participating with Christ as the King of Kings. So it's a wake-up call for us. And I'm speaking to the spiritual realm this morning as well, so that this goes out and the messengers of the different churches, the angels of the different churches, will carry this and impart it to the body of Christ so they can hear and stop messing around and making policies about gay marriage and homosexuality and all that there, and get a clap and say, "No, I'll remove your lamp from the town if you're going to not repent." Powerful. And that's why Psalm 24 is so profound. So here we see Jesus as a light, and in Him was life. And the light was the light of men. And the light shines. So John is writing on what he had known and his witness. So it's like almost like in the past tense, this is Jesus. But He's been raised from the dead and He lived on the earth. However, His light continues to shine. See, now we're in the continuous process of the powerful reality of His life and His light. Now the light shines, continues to shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Do we believe this? You see, oh, darkness is ruling. Jesus, darkness does not rule. I've overcome darkness. Start to believe it. Start to decree it. Start to walk in this truth, that darkness has not overcome light. My light continues to shine, and my light releases life. So my speech, is it worship? Because He's worthy as King of Kings to hear speech that says, "Light shines. Darkness has not overcome your light, Jesus." As my speech, as my thoughts, thoughts of worship, because He's worthy as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is light. He is life. And are my thoughts releasing that aspect of worthiness to Him because of who He is and who we are in Him and our incredible calling to be sent into this world as His incredible body of Christ? So it's repentance. See, it's calling us to repentance. I understand. I was just praying this morning, and I understand why, and this is not anyone here, okay? I understand why many people at this time will leave a congregation that is preaching what is being preached now. It will go to another congregation that will agree with their sin. See. That's sad. That's sad. No matter how big and popular the congregation may be, many times it's because there's something there that agrees to allowing a person to remain in their sin. No, not here. Here is a life of purity, of holiness, because God loves the people. They've been held captive by Satan. And God has placed us as His children in a town, wherever we may be, to be involved in setting the captives free, advancing the kingdom of God. A life of purity. And this is why it cannot happen when we are trying to live by ourselves. We have to know the truth of having died with Christ Jesus and living in Him. Be strong in Him and His mighty power. Ask me. This body wouldn't be able to hold stuff. I need to be strong in Him. And so Jesus is the reality that His light shines in darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. It will never overcome the light. It will never. And all throughout history, into today and into the tomorrows, the enemy will try and confuse the family of God to say darkness is winning, so that we get out of truth, we get out of faith, we get out of our hope, we get out of understanding. No, 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 no. I'm not in agreement with that. I'm in agreement, Jesus, that You have overcome the darkness. The power of the cross, His resurrection, all of that. So, we're going to face many, many times of darkness. You know that incredible prophecy where as darkness increases, the light increases even more. And I've realized there, I've asked God, how are we going to save people? How people are going to get born again in a town, in a city where everybody has got so much, etc. And He simply said it's going to be through many, many trials, and that as darkness increases, you will start to find people will start to see light. And that's why last Sunday, when we looked there, when we spoke about the oneness, so that the world will know that the Father has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, that the world will know that as we live a life of being loved by Him because of our total surrender to Him, total obedience to Him, the world will know what love's all about. And this is the example. So, our Lord is busy helping us as His incredible body, as His army, to be able to not stand out there trying to AWOL, but to be able to be with Him side by side, the army of God. He is our commander, our King of Kings, and us saying, yes, Lord, and following Him. At this time, not many are able to do that. Because of a life of impurity. The holiness of God, the power of that glory of His is too powerful. You can't stand. And this is why understanding what it is to be in Christ, understanding the righteousness of Christ, understanding that grace reigns through His righteousness in order for us, the power of this law of the Spirit of God that empowers us to be able to live a life that is not a slave to sin. That's why it's so important to get established in all of this. So, we'll sing just now. We've read Matthew 16, verse from 18 onwards there, where Jesus is saying there to Peter, God has given you, the Father has blessed you with such revelation that I am the Son of God, who I really am. And he's speaking about the growth of the kingdom. He's speaking about the keys of the kingdom. He's speaking about the authority. He prophesied through Isaiah. He prophesied through Daniel that my kingdom, that my son will really bring into existence in a powerful way, will continue growing, 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 and will destroy all the other kingdoms. He's prophesied in Isaiah 2 that in the last days the mountain of the Lord, the kingdom of God, will be the chief amongst all the other kingdoms. He's prophesied that. He's prophesied that over his kingdom, his glory will manifest profoundly. It will be a shelter and a shield. It's all been prophesied. We must just start to get more and more into agreement with that in the way we respond to life. We can carry on, and we can see there in Philippians 2, where we see there where Paul is writing and he speaks about Jesus, who humbled himself and became a servant and obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ, to our Heavenly Father, and how the Father raised him up and gave him the name above every other name, the name that every knee will bow, every king who name it will bow. See, this is the Christ who has overcome darkness. This is our King. This is the kingdom that we live in. How can we even think that darkness is stronger than light? That's part of the agenda of the enemy. That's part of the brainwashing that he uses, the media and particularly the voices of Christians. Been taken captive and not in agreement with truth. So this is very, very real. And this is why, as God shares with you and I, we have a responsibility with our colleagues that are believers, that are so overwhelmed with darkness and, oh, there's no hope. They need to repent. You have a message of reconciliation to share, to be able to help them to know, but this is the truth. Pray that they will start to get the Holy Spirit's faith rising up within them and to be set free from being taken captive by a lie that the enemy is actually stronger than Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We're learning how to live in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So every knee will bow down and confess that our Lord Jesus is the King of Kings. He is Lord. In Revelation chapter 1, we read concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood and has made us to be a kingdom. He has made us, not he will, he has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. What a statement from the throne room of God. What a statement in the heavenly realms to the body of Christ. This is our King who has overcome darkness. Revelation 19 we know pretty well. And again, this is now concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful. Remember chapter 1, Christ the faithful witness, who's called Faithful because he was faithful in revealing the true God to us. the faithful and true. With justice he judges and makes war. You know that song, Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild? I don't know where that comes from, eh? He has our God who makes war. Our God who destroyed the works of the devil. Our God has conquered sin and the power of sin. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses. And that's important, again, white horses. Dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Riding with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords requires purity. Requires purity, understands how the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus operates through the gift of righteousness, Christ's righteousness, that empowers us to be able to live a life that's not enslaved to sin, but is enslaved to righteousness. He's done it for us. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the gift of righteousness. You can't do this in your own ability to become pure and holy. No. Got to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now we carry on. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule with them. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robes, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has the name King of Kings, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then we see this mighty army, how he makes wages war against the enemies. And then he returns. The word might be sharp, but that's the sword. It's coming out of his mouth, waging war against sin, against darkness, against compromise in our lives as the body of Christ. And as he deals it with us, he will wage war to the world, because the Holy Spirit will convict the world what sin is all about. So that's why he judges the house of God first. So as we conclude, I want to just conclude here in Psalm 24. Because Psalm 24 is a psalm that is the second attempt for David and the Israelites to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. The first attempt, they did not follow the ways of God. And when the ox and the cart stumbled, the men placed their hand and God struck them dead. Now this is the second attempt. Now this is the song. And this song is in two parts. There's this song where they are approaching the temple. They're approaching the city. The cart, the ark, the ark is being carried now the proper way by the Levites. And they're singing now with all their might. And this is what they are singing. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The Lord of Lords, the owner of all. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. I acknowledge you as the Lord of Lords. Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Now they're approaching the hill of the Lord. They're approaching the city of God, the Jerusalem. Who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. So here we see they tried the first time and they realized, whoopsie, now they're coming. No, the way to enter, the way to bring the glory of God into a place The way to bring the presence of God into a place is going to require pure hearts, holy hands. It's going to require that we do not get into agreement with darkness and speak falsely, but we speak truth. It requires for us to be men and women of truth, that we speak for the glory of God and not for our own glory. It requires for us not to have idols where we are worshiping the things of this world. It requires for us to be set apart as Jesus was set apart. And approaching, how do we bring this glorious presence into this city that you have given to us? And so they carry on. And then he says, he will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God his Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. And then in verse 7, now, lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient, or some translations will have everlasting doors, for the King of Glory, that the King of Glory may come in. And he has an amazing picture of wanting to bring the presence of God into a city. And there's the ancient gates. And it's the invitation to lift up these ancient gates. We'll speak about it now. So that the King of Glory may enter into it. They're bringing in the ark. They're bringing in the presence of God. And all of a sudden, now you're starting to see the fullness of what's taken place. That the King of Glory may enter into the full presence of God. The manifestation of the presence of God. Because this manifestation of the presence of God in the city is going to be a tangible witness to the nations all around. It's going to be a way that we as the people living in the city are going to live in the very presence, the manifest presence of God, and our very lifestyle is going to reflect something of what it is to be in the presence of the King of Glory. And then he carries on and he says over here, who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Darkness has not overcome the King of Glory. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of Glory. Today is the invitation. Who is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Where is this ark going to be going? It's going to go eventually into this temple in Jerusalem, referring now to you and I as believers, the body of Christ. And the invitation is for us to lift our hearts up, open up our hearts, open up the gates of our hearts, and invite the revelation of the King of Glory, the Lord of Lords, the owner of all, to come and rule, to come and help us to be able to live a life with him as the King of Kings in his kingdom, so that we can be involved in setting the people free that still are under the influence of darkness. It's time where the body of Christ in our community, and that's us, where we look at our towns that we are staying in and we recognize the darkness seems to be ruling. No, that's not the truth. It may be the reality that we're seeing. The truth is that light has overcome. The truth is that we've compromised. The truth is we need to repent and once again say, no, Lord, we're here to advance your kingdom. We're here to say, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're here to say, Father, hallowed be your name, for us to live in the lifestyle that demonstrates you are worthy who you are, and our life demonstrates that purity because we are living in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the incredible gift of righteousness that we've received in Christ Jesus, so that the law of the Spirit of life is working in us. We are no longer slaves to sin, but now we can say no and live for righteousness and not for ourselves. To live a life where we know that we've been buried with Christ Jesus, we've been raised with Him in order to live a life that brings glory to God. To be able to live Revelation chapter 1, He has redeemed us, made us into a kingdom of priests to serve the living God and not ourselves. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. And I said, Father, this is Jesus speaking, sacrifices and offerings you did not require, but a body you prepared for me. Here I've come to do your will. We need Rachel now to come and comfort everybody. First of November this year is the day when the invitation and the revelation of Christ as King of Kings, and for us in our town, wherever we may be living, to be able to now come to the place and say, no more compromising with darkness. Out of my comfort zone, I agree with you, Lord Jesus. I welcome you into, not only to my own life, but I welcome you into this town as the King of Kings. See, now we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now it's not just a formula. Now we're connected to that truth. Now we're living in that truth because you've told us on whatever, what's the day today, the 3rd, 4th, whatever. You told us on this particular Sunday, you invited us to receive you as King of Kings. Now when we pray, your kingdom come, that means we know what we're praying now. It's faith now, there's power, we're in agreement. And whatever we agree with in your name, it happens. Now I begin to understand why we spoke some time back that everybody living in a town, in Acts chapter 17, everybody living in the town where we are, God has placed this time, this hour, because it's His will for them to find Him, to know Him. Our warfare is against the spiritual realm that's holding people captive. Let's pray for their salvation. Let's pray for their freedom. Let's pray for the body of Christ. Let's pray for one another to be set free from the things that are tripping us up and hindering us that we're not aware of. We need Holy Spirit to expose. Let's ask for the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let's get baptized into the fire of God. Let's jump in and say, yes, Lord, cleanse me. All I can say, that the glory, the kingship, the authority of Jesus, no one can stand in your own ability. Have to be in Christ Jesus and His righteousness. He's too pure, too holy. So as we sing this morning, these songs that I'd like us to sing, it's up to each and every one. It's a response. It's us decreeing this. It's part of the prayer as we conclude, just praying these words and declaring it over. And it's like welcoming the King of Kings into our community, into our own hearts. So the first one, again, it's some of you might know it. Many of you listen to CC. one of her songs there, That Is My Lord. It might be a little bit fast, but you're all young, so you can really connect to it. You'll be able to really dance now. So it's a new one. But the others we've sung before, so that should be pretty easy. Okay, those who want to join, let's stand and we decree and declare.